This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
And another Friday afternoon it is. Welcome to the Sports Ticket. And Jeff and Hunter with you on kind of a drizzly, windy, colder day today. And we've had a phenomenal week, but I mean, this is it's kind of depressing.
I guess there's not really a better way of saying it, you know, going from sunshine, blue skies to this. It just seemed dreary and cloudy and overcast all day long.
I know, a little misty here and there, a little raindrops falling on your head. But you know what? If you had a Mercedes Sprinter van, you wouldn't have to worry about that. You could take a nap in that bad boy.
You could stand up there and the raindrops still won't hit you in the head.
That's exactly right. I don't know how tall that thing is. It's got to be like an 8-foot ceiling in those things, because you can just walk around and be free as a bird.
Well, you could, yeah, but that only needs to be like a 6'4", 6'5" ceiling. You know, right now there's, you know, some playoffs going on that are taking those 7-foot guys that need that 8-foot overhang.
7-foot plus for, what do they call him, Wemby? Is that how they call that guy with a wingspan of like
a 747?
A whole city block? I mean, that guy, he's huge and he's agile and he's skinny and a big dog. And I don't know how that guy doesn't just break his legs when he's walking or running down the court. Well, it's crazy.
Isn't that kind of the typical thing we see with these big lanky guys in the NBA? Historically, they last for a few years. I mean, you go back in time, Sean Bradley and guys like that, they can have decent NBA careers, but they never reach the peak that you always think they're going to, simply because they're skin and bones, but they're tall as all get-go.
They are. And did you have the opportunity to take a peek at that game last night?
I didn't get to peek at that game last night. I had other things going on.
Yeah, you do. You got a million kids. But
I did turn a little bit older yesterday, too.
Oh, you did? Happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I won't ask what the number is, because that has to be a little discreet.
Yeah. It just means I'm getting older. I'll put it that way.
Right. Well, you don't look older, Hunter. Okay. Just so you know. I'm sure your wife says the same thing.
No. She actually pointed out that, you know, locally here, the Elsinore Theater actually had its 100th birthday yesterday.
Really?
It opened its doors for the first time May 28th of 1926. And we saw that on the news. My wife said, well, the year's pretty close.
Yeah,
I said, wait, what?
It's probably closer to me. But anyway, so it was actually kind of a knockdown, drag out, blow up game. You know, these guys, we talked before the show that this is almost like a rugby match, because these guys, they duke it out. They're blowing each other up and the refs hardly are calling anything. I mean, there's so many plays that are happening where guys are just getting thrown to the ground, granted away from the ball, but I mean, this is ridiculous how this game has become.
Well, I just sit here and I go, officiating in the NBA has become so, it's hard to determine what it's going to be, because you get a guy like LeBron James who could be that, you know, that tank. I mean, you know, you talk about these skinny guys that are playing. This is a guy that's built like a just brick. And yet every time he falls to the ground, they're calling fouls on whomever might be in the, you know, on the court at the same time. But then you get these kinds of playoff games where, like you said, it is just knock them down, drag them out, and no calls. You know, traveling is no longer a thing in the NBA. And I'm kind of going, I hearken back to those, you know, the Chicago Bulls runs of the 90s going, you know, these were physical games, but when things got out of control, they were called.
Yeah, they're not being, well, I mean, there are some calls, but overall, it's like they just let these guys play, duke it out, and I'm really surprised that there haven't been any, you know, no one's throwing blows, because you're getting destroyed on, especially like Holmgren for the Thunder. You know, he came out of Gonzaga, and this guy is just getting beat to a pulp. They are destroying him, and he's another one of those tall guys, skinnier than a big dog, and he's just getting destroyed down there.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what it is with the NBA, whether it's that mentality of this is the playoffs, let's not make a whistle, determine any outcomes. But at the same time, minus
in
game.
In the second quarter?
Well, I mean, come on. but you know, I sit here and go, in this whole series, only game one going into double overtime, it seemed competitive at the end of a game in this whole series. All the rest of them have kind of runaway wins by whoever wins the game. And, of course, they're tied 3-3. They play again tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think the Spurs won by almost 30 points. I mean,
are they trying to, you know, get a higher pay-per-view buy rate, you know, as a boxing UFC basketball kind of thing for Saturday? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I to be honest, I turned it off just mm-hmm. because it was just it got to just be so ridiculous. It's just like, this isn't even like basketball. This is stupidity. Mm-hmm. It's just like I'm on a street somewhere down in downtown New York, mm-hmm. you know, watching these guys on an asphalt court. You know, it's stupid.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, it's just one of those number of things with the NBA that you sit there and go, let's get it back to basketball. You know, if I want to watch pro wrestling, I could do that, you know, in my, you know, at a different time.
Yeah. There's something to be said for that. But I guess I haven't been a fan of NBA basketball for quite a few years mm-hmm. now.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, if these were tight games, these are, you know, two of the best three teams remaining right now. The Knicks are sitting there waiting for the winner to come out of this one. But I just sit here and go, if these were games that were coming down to less than 10 points with a minute left in the game, or, you know, a couple minutes left in the game, then you sit there and go, that's intriguing TV. I got to watch. I just don't sit there and go, when it's a 25-30 point blowout, with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it's not gaining the eyeballs. It's not getting people watching it, and people are changing the channel.
They are, and that's exactly what I did. I'd rather watch a baseball game, to be honest with you, because it seems to be, granted, it's a little bit slower, but it's more entertaining.
Well, but that's another element of the NBA at this point now, where you have teams, they'll come out. So like this game, going into last night's game, the Thunder were up 3-2. So they had a game to give.
Sure.
So once they fell behind by double digits, it's kind of like, okay, let's just kind of see if we can give them a few bruises for Saturday night, more so than let's see if we can bring this game back and tighten it up.
You know, I'm surprised that there hasn't been a forearm shiver from a Thunder player on Wemby, to be honest, because he did that. I don't know if it was this series or was it the series before he got suspended. But that, you know, you're going to go do that stuff? I mean, what happened to the retaliation? Because they're really, not that I would do that, I'm not condoning it, but it's just like, I remember back in the baseball days. I mean, if you hit somebody, you can guarantee that the other pitcher from the other side, he's going to come up and he's going to drill your guy too. So it's just the way that it went.
Well, and you know, talking about, you know, basketball past, it's like, I remember watching the Sonics playing against the Bulls in the finals. And you literally, part of the intrigue of the game was wondering when the big guy for Seattle, Brakowski, and Dennis Rodman were going to actually go to blows, because I think at least two or three games of that series, they got ejected, both of them, because it just got too physical.
Everybody got ejected. Again, you know, the Bull. Well, you know, Rodman he played mind games.
Oh, yeah.
He got in everybody's grill, and then he'd drill you, and then he'd back off like he didn't do anything. And the guy was just, he was good.
That's right.
I mean, really, he was good. I mean, his antics were...
Well, that was all part of the show. He was just a showman beyond showman, and he still is to this day. Granted, he's no longer playing basketball, but, you know, he is a entertainer as well as an athlete.
It's what he did, and it's, yeah, he'll wear a million earrings and all over his body.
And whatever color hair he's got this
exactly
week.
Exactly right. What a nut job. But anyways, it was
NBA,
fun watching.
Maybe the NBA needs another guy like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, maybe they do. Actually, I think they've got plenty. You got guys wearing palm trees in their hair. Do they have extensions on? It sure seems like they do.
I wonder how you play a game like basketball with hair like that.
It's ridiculous.
How that doesn't just become a sweat ball of itchiness.
I know. It's got to be bad. Plus, somebody could pull it out on you. I mean, what would that do? Anyways, okay, Hunter, we're going to get out to our first break. The Sports Ticket Friday. What is today? It's May 29th already.
Isn't that crazy?
This is the last Friday of May.
This is, yeah, literally by Monday, we are now in June.
School's going to be out soon. Mm-hmm. Parents are loving that.
That's right.
No more babysitting. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back after this.
back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
Well, it's a perfect time to order a Domino's pizza. I mean, it's a dreary day. We already talked about that. And what's better on a dreary day than just stuffing your face with some Domino's pizzas?
Well, maybe we need to, you know, revise an ad and just be like, you know, what do you do when you're down in the dumps? What's a quick pick me up? Right. Get yourself a Domino's pizza. It'll put a smile on your face.
Either come on by, order online, we'll deliver it to you. We got three different options. Mm-hmm. It's great.
And if you're out and about, there's one just in every part of town, ready and waiting
actually,
for you.
There really is.
Mm-hmm.
East, North, Keyser.
Keyser, Kaiser.
South Salem, West Salem. They got it covered. Dallas, McMinnville. We have listeners in McMinnville, mm-hmm. by the way.
Well, yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're well-liked. We have listeners all over the place. We have a widespread. You know, we did give away a couple of Mariners tickets this week.
We did, actually. Mm-hmm. They've got a really good series coming up starting tonight mm-hmm. with the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are 9-1 in their last 10. It seems like the Mariners uh-huh. are always getting these teams that are coming in on a winning streak.
Yeah, you know, I was talking with Warren a little bit earlier, and he said this is kind of really... He views this series coming up this weekend as a definitive direction the Mariners are going this year. I don't know if it's a little too early, but at the same time, if you really look at things, we're about a third of the way through the season now.
I have a tendency to disagree with Warren.
Well, and I'll tell you why I can see it and why I can't. The Diamondbacks overall are pretty close to on par. Granted, they've been on a hot streak lately, but they've also been playing subpar teams.
The Rockies, mm-hmm. the Giants.
Yep.
And I know a lot of Giants fans live here, and so I apologize, but the reality and the truth is... they're not very good this year.
No. Well, and they're struggling. And we'll get to potential reasons for struggle because there is some salary cap news and bargaining stuff about Major League Baseball. We'll talk about later in the show. But since we're on the Mariners and the way things are right now, the saving grace for the Mariners so far this year has been that overall the American League has been mediocre. The American League West is the epitome of mediocre.
It's atrocious.
And that's been the saving grace. The Mariners just, for some reason, have not been able to put it all together because realistically, when you look at this team on paper and what they accomplished a year ago, they should be running away with the American League West at this point.
Well, when you've got Cal Raleigh, who was hitting a million home runs last year, I like that number.
Mm-hmm.
I've used it a couple of times already. Yeah, just a million.
Mm-hmm.
He's out.
Yep.
And I think it's not as oblique, but it's something in his side is pulled. And yeah. I mean, that's a problem.
Yep. But this is Major League Baseball and you got to be able to at least overcome it. And I'm not sitting there saying that the offense is going to be as strong without Cal in there, but they've got the players and the guys just got to put it together, whether it's, you know, what do we see with the Mariners? And gosh darn it, this is a 30-year history that you have with the Mariners. Either their offense is ticking, but their pitching isn't there, or the pitching is lights out and the offense can't put a run on the board.
Well, they got Kirby going tonight, and you know, the last few games, this guy has really, really struggled. He's allowing a lot of runs mm-hmm. right now, and his ERA is... approaching record numbers, and so we'll see if he can pull it off tonight against the Diamondbacks. But I got to be honest, I mean, I believe it's Colt Emerson, is it the 20-year-old? He mm-hmm. is a phenom.
Yeah,
this kid is really, really good. He just got called up, what, about a week, 2 weeks mm-hmm. ago, and it took him a little bit to get going, but this guy, he had a 4-for-4 night
yeah.
at 20 years old.
Well, there was a lot of talk in spring training about him just sticking with the Mariners coming out. Granted, at that point, they didn't really have a position for him to play because they had every, you know, well-covered penciled in with Donovan and a few others, but... there was a very strong feeling that by mid-May, he was going to be making his MLB debut, and that's what he's done.
Well, there you have it. And I tell you, this guy's a stud, and he's going to be a key. Donovan, actually, the Mariners picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember where he was from.
St. Louis.
Okay, good. I'm glad you know. That guy's good.
Yep.
But he hasn't played every game, so... Yep.
Well, and that's what it's going to really come down to. Like you said, is Cal's out. But with a guy like Colt Emerson or Donovan, if they are out there and they are playing and there isn't that massive pressure to carry the organization on them, I think they can help make up for the absence of Cal.
You know, Rosarina and Rodriguez are really their bats are starting to come alive mm-hmm. right now. And so that's really helping the Mariners offensively. But now we get into the pitching. And so hopefully the pitching can come alive mm-hmm. and they can start shutting some people down. They swept the A's. Yeah. And that was I did not think that that was going to happen.
Well,
they brought in that one guy who hadn't even pitched in the majors yet. I can't remember his name either, but he just got shelled.
Well, that's the thing is the A's have been performing well above expectation so far this year. I guess they really like Sacramento. Maybe it's because it's a smaller ballpark and it's real cuddly and whatever. I don't know, but I just sit here and go, things are going to even out, and teams like the A's are going to start falling off the way they should, and hopefully the Mariners start rising up. And I would hope now that we're, 2 months into the season, we would have started seeing that already. And I think that's where Warren has a point. This is a perfect series with a hot Diamondbacks team coming in. If you can shut them down and turn this around, you can show that we're going to fix this season, going to right the ship, and we are going to be competitive come the end of the year.
You know, typically for the Mariners, it's the Mariners-Angels series where that's where everything seems to switch for them, and that's at the end of June.
Okay.
So you think
the pivot series is a month from now?
I really do, and the Angels are, unfortunately, they're not very good either. So.
Well, I like to go back a couple of years ago, now that we've been doing the show and we have a track record. I think it was an Angels series. You went up to Seattle 4, and you came back, and the very next sports ticket show, you sat in here and you said, Mariners are done. They're garbage. They can't do anything. And I swear they must listen to this show because they turned it around after that and went on to, I think, miss the playoffs by just like a game.
You know, either that, yeah, and I think it was. It came down to the last game and it went to like 18 innings. It was mm-hmm. crazy and they missed the playoffs. But, yeah, I was pretty ticked off mm-hmm. and I was done. And then, you know what, maybe they did hear me or something. I don't know. Not that I'm a nobody, but.
You're like, do you remember the movie Major League?
I do.
What if they put a picture of you up there the way they did the female owner, and then every win they needed for the playoffs, they pulled a piece of...
Well, they'd probably give all the fans a tomato and just start throwing it at the big screen or whatever. I don't know. It just, it's just one of those things that happened and they just turned it around. But we'll see what happens this year. I'm looking forward to this series, though. I think they're going to take at least 2 out of 3 against the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm.
All right. So in other baseball news, the College World Series, the regional playoffs are underway. We do have here locally, the Oregon Ducks are hosting Oregon State, Washington State, and Yale. And earlier this week, just the other day, Mike Gallagher had an opportunity to talk with Joey Mack about this upcoming series and how exciting it is for, this is the first time that Oregon and Oregon State have played in the same regional ever.
Should be fun.
So kind of history. So
absolutely.
Enjoy this interview with Mike and Joey Mack. You're listening to Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
Returning to the Sports Ticket here on this Friday afternoon. Hi, Mike Gallagher sitting in with the fellas today. And, of course, brought to you by our friends down on Lancaster at Color Tile. Well, it's the road to Omaha, and it all gets started on Friday and through the weekend down in the Mid-Willamette Valley. A great season of baseball in the Pacific Northwest. Let's turn now to the broadcast voice of the Oregon Ducks, and that's Joey Mack. And Joey, thanks for coming on board here today and talking to us. I do want to get to this excitement in the postseason. For me as a fan, to have Oregon and Oregon State playing for the big move is something else. It's got to be exciting for you.
Well, it's pretty historic, Mike. I mean, we knew that this could be possible with the conference realignment that occurred, and in the era of what I call the era of the larger conferences, right, with the SEC and the Big Ten expanding or the Big Ten to include 18 teams, you knew that this was possible, right? Simply because there's a rule in college baseball, college softball, where you can't have a team from the same conference in the same regional, right? So a reminder for fans that there's 16 sites around the country, and the Ducks are the number 11 national seed. So there's 16 sites around the country that each play a four-game double elimination bracket. That's the regional round. Then the super regionals, which would be the following weekend, are all three-game series, and then you get to that College World Series bracket, which is an eight-team double elimination tournament. So with all that in mind, it was never possible for Oregon and Oregon State, who were in the same conference, to play each other in a regional like this with the NCAA rules. Well, now when they're not in the same conference, same with Washington State, it's possible. And the committee, usually in these regionals, like they're called regionals for a reason, you know, that they tend to be pretty close to each other, the schools that end up in these regions. Now, certainly like for a Yale, that there's only so much you can do. There's only so many slots with 32, I think, in baseball automatic qualifiers. There's only so many slots that you can put all these teams. The point is that it's not surprising when you see teams from the Pacific Northwest as the 1, 2, and 3 seeds in a regional. And in the Oregon State, Washington State case, it's even a little more of a head scratcher because although those teams are in the same conference in a lot of sports now, baseball is the one they're not in the same conference. The Mountain West scheduling agreement for Washington State, they won that Mountain West tournament, and then Oregon State has gone independent in baseball, hence why you can have these three old Pac-12 teams having a reunion at PK Park in a regional round.
And this is exciting because these are three emerging or longtime baseball schools. Oregon State in the last 20 years, of course, you know, they've been in and out of the World Series. Washington State under Bobo Brayton years ago, and then he built a program there. Oregon under Wasikowski, good Lord, you know, hosting the NCAA region and making their sixth consecutive appearance in the tournament, all under Coach Mark Wasikowski. I just think this is electrifying. And Yale is the oddball out, but that's okay. We always have to have somebody from far away to play. But that would bring up the matchup, Joey. When we talk about, you know, Oregon, they came up just a little short in that Big Ten title game that you called, falling to number one UCLA in the last few innings, 3-2 in 11 innings on Sunday. Going into that last inning, I believe it was 2-1 going into the eighth or the ninth, and then all hell didn't break loose, but it sure got shook up a bit.
Well, 2-1 going to the ninth, and you know UCLA has been in that situation a lot. Like, for example, the Bruins were 16-0 this season when their opponent scores first, and they've come from behind, I think it's now 10 times when they're trailing after six innings. I mean, that's a team that just finds a way to win. You know, they're gritty, and it's difficult to quantify that, right? You can describe the statistics like I just did, but I think Waz would say it ultimately comes down to just having tough at-bats, and you know, I thought UCLA did that. I mean, that game was so high pressure. Oregon executed some great plays to keep UCLA off the board. It's 2-1 in the bottom of the ninth inning. A leadoff walk ends up coming back to haunt the Ducks, and UCLA then played good baseball. Oregon was 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. The Bruins were 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. The one came with two outs and a runner at second in the bottom of the ninth inning to tie the game at 2. Fast forward to the 11th, and you get a questionable hit-by-pitch on the brim of the helmet of Phoenix Call, and video review says, well, we can't really tell, so Call will stand, and that's how UCLA won the game. Just kind of a gut punch way to lose a game, and honestly, probably not the most fun way to win a game. But it illustrated a few things. One, that Oregon can play with anybody. I mean, the Ducks were in a lot of great games this year, but maybe none more exciting than the ones against UCLA. The Ducks were the first team to beat UCLA in Big Ten play this year, gave them a heck of a game in the Big Ten championship, and I thought Oregon earning the number 11 seed, even after losing that Big Ten title game, was very appropriate from the NCAA tournament. Just keeping track of everything that's gone on in terms of who the Ducks have played and beaten and how the Ducks have looked this year, getting to that 40-win mark, I think, still is really valuable in the regular season and into the conference tournament, and the Ducks were able to do that. A lot of good to take away from that. You want to win every game. There's also lessons from losses, and there should be lessons from wins. And I think Waz would tell you that he likes where this team is going into postseason. Now, all that said, you alluded to Yale kind of being the odd team out. Don't overlook those four seeds in baseball tournaments.
Okay.
Right? Sometimes four seeds come in with nothing to lose, and I hate to bring this up, but just ask Utah Valley from last year. Utah Valley beat Oregon at PK Park, and just ask Oral Roberts, a team that was a four seed that ended up winning their regional. The Ducks hosted a super regional at PK Park, and Oral Roberts won that super regional in relatively dramatic fashion. That's the thing with baseball. Like, some of these lineups right now especially for a baseball environment where you can go to the pros after your junior year. Mm. Well, sometimes a school like Oral Roberts, like Yale, they're going to have an older lineup that's got more experience, and that can be really valuable at this point in the postseason. So can't overlook Yale. I know there's a lot made of the Pac-12 reunion with Oregon, Oregon State, and Washington State, but don't overlook Yale. That's the first opponent for the Ducks at 5 o'clock on Friday.
Joey Mack, broadcaster for the Ducks, with us here on the Sports Ticket. Before we get to that potential that I think we're all hoping for with the Beavs, you know, Yale comes out of the Ivy League. They claim the Ivy League's an automatic bid after they won both the regular season and, of course, the tournament championship. And then they, in the league tournament, that win over Columbia 3-0 and a pair of victories over Brown to get there. I mean, this is a good ball club, 30-13, 17-6 in the Ivy. And they're not ranked, but they're where they're at because they are a decent ball club. And like you said, they could be another Utah Valley.
And have some momentum, right? Winning their conference tournament. I was talking to Ryan Cooney about that this week, the Ducks' outstanding second baseman. And, you know, he just said, look, you got to be a good team to win your conference tournament. And they're that. And one thing that's interesting with Yale, this is often true with the Ivy League schools, they don't play as many games. You're allowed to play 56 regular season games in college baseball. And you mentioned their record, they're 30-13. Well, that's less games, right? They tied a game as well this year. So if memory serves, they've only played 44 games this season. And so there's pros and cons to that, right? Maybe a little more rested, but also a little less experienced. And I just think that's kind of a peculiar thing that can happen sometimes with baseball. And it is a bit of an older lineup. I think that the coaching staff at Oregon will tell you, though, that they have a couple guys, one in particular, that can pitch. And I, look, at the end of the day, like I think that it all comes down to Oregon playing well and an environment at PK Park that I expect to be awesome, outstanding. Like, the Ducks, even if you didn't get a ticket for this regional, the Ducks are doing a fan fest starting at 3 o'clock on Friday outside of PK Park in that area between Autzen Stadium, PK Park, and Pape Field. They're going to have a fan fest set up, and they're hoping for just an awesome kind of tailgate experience for fans. And they'll have the game on for those that can't be in the ballpark. They'll have the live feed on out there, and it should be a fun environment. I think ultimately it comes down to Oregon. The Ducks have demonstrated that when they play clean baseball, they win games. And I think in the majority of, if not all, of the losses for Oregon this year, and this might be true for most teams in most sports, but particularly for this Oregon baseball team, you can point to something that Oregon maybe didn't execute as well as they would have liked in those games that led to the outcome being a loss. And that speaks to how good and how talented, and I think how high the potential of this Oregon team is.
Potential. Let's just play prognosticator. Oregon beats Yale. Oregon State beats Washington State. Game two, day two, it's the Beavs and the Ducks. What a great matchup. And right now the Beavs have struggled, and we talk about the potential for the Ducks playing the Beavers. Not only is that just going to capture everybody's attention, but they've had some highs and lows, and for a long time they were playing well. They went down in the doldrums. Their pitching failed on them. They have two pitchers that are not going to play at all, one for sure. Yet when their bats get hot, they're tough to beat.
Well, and Dax Whitney being out, first of all, injuries are the worst part of sports. I feel for that young man because that just sucks with Dax Whitney being out here at the end of the year, and it certainly changes the complexion of that team. And, you know, Oregon was scheduled to play them obviously three times before that tragedy with one of their players. And I feel like Oregon has some momentum against Oregon State. But again, you don't know that matchup even occurs. If it does, I expect a raucous environment. I think it's going to be what postseason baseball is all about. You want that competitive environment for sure. And Oregon's won six of the last seven against Oregon State. But ironically, the road team won in the two games this season. The Ducks didn't play their best baseball against the Beavs early in the season at PK Park and dropped that game. Meanwhile, Oregon won relatively handily at Oregon State. And the Ducks staffed that game. They pitched a number of different guys on the mound at Goss Stadium. And that was the most recent game that the two teams played. So that means that there's a sour taste in Oregon State's mouth, and that means Oregon's got a little confidence coming off a win against the Beavs.
Well, when we talk about the probable starter up on the hill for sure, who do you think gets the call, or do you know?
I don't know, and I think Waz would be mad if I did tell you that I knew. the Ducks will utilize anyone that they have at this point. Look, that's the thing, right? Like, certainly you want a great start. You want to have a great momentum-setting, kind of tone-setting performance in the first game, but the truth is, when it's win or go home, or in this case for the Ducks, win and stay home, you're going to pitch everybody that you have, and that's just the reality. So don't be surprised if you see the Ducks pull out any stops should they need to. I think Oregon is relatively healthy. You know, Jax Jimenez has been a little banged up. The Ducks have been starting him in left field, but then before his first at bat, the last couple weeks they've been pinch hitting Gabe Miranda and then utilizing Elijah Cook and Josh Schleichhardt as defensive replacements in left field later in the game when they're prioritizing defense with a lead. And I don't know what that's going to look like here in the regional, but you know, that's really been the one spot where the Ducks have been a little banged up. And every team's going to be a little banged up, right? Yep. Like every single team is going to battle injuries at this point in the season. But overall, I think that Oregon still can peak here at the right time. The way that the Ducks lineup has demonstrated some power, they've now hit over 100 home runs this year. The team can score in a variety of ways, and that's the real key for Oregon, is when that lineup is long, they're not just hitting home runs. Like, they hit 5 solo home runs in one game in the Big Ten tournament. Wow. You'd like to see some of those maybe turn into 2-run home runs, and maybe yeah. You see a few more 2-out RBI, and you know, ultimately, Oregon's hit a lot of solo shots, and I think when they're at their best, that lineup is scoring in a variety of ways, and they're going to have a lot of traffic on the base paths.
You know, by the time this has aired, because we are talking to you just before the ball game, Oregon State and Washington State's game will be history at this point, and Oregon and Yale will be throwing out the first pitch as we speak here now on the radio after 5 o'clock on Friday. The winner of the Oregon-Yale game takes on either Wazoo or Oregon State on Saturday at 6 p.m. The loser will play on Saturday at 1, and quite frankly, I hope it's the Ducks and the Beavs on Saturday. Will make for some great baseball. And look who's right in the middle of it again. It's Joey Mack of the Oregon Ducks. Joey, thanks for chatting with us today. I know you got a lot of prep to do for a great weekend of baseball. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Sure appreciate it.
Joey Mack of the Ducks here on the Sports Ticket. And we'll have more coming back with the fellas here on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Appreciate Mike interviewing Joey there. Joey is a wealth of knowledge. Really cool that he was able to give a good feedback for all the teams that are down in the Eugene Regional. Should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a very competitive four teams down there.
Well, I just think it's funny because, you know, they talk, it's called a regional, and Joey even brought that up, that, you know, Oregon, Oregon State, Washington State are all playing. They're all regional. Yale is having to do a little bit of traveling to join the Northwest Regional.
Yeah, 3,000 miles away, for crying out loud. That's crazy. They got a bum draw there, but right. They're a good ball club.
Well, and he said it, you know, it's they're a good ball club, but they are, you know, coming out of the Ivy League. They're not a premier league, so they kind of, you know, just because of the way the cookies crumble, they got to play somewhere.
They have one good pitcher, and he could cause some problems.
Yep.
So... But he can't pitch every game.
That's right. Okay, swinging back over to Major League Baseball. We are coming up towards the end of the Major League Baseball Players Union and Major League Baseball's collective bargaining agreements, which, you know, if you don't recognize that that term, it's what shut down the 1994 baseball season.
And it may have shut down 1981 as well, because that was a strike year.
Yep. It's what leads to the strikes or the lockouts or any of these things when an agreement is not met. The most recent one would have been the WNBA one, which, you know, can't went right down to the wire to make this WNBA season happen. But so they have begun the negotiation process. And Major League Baseball is once again proposed a salary cap system. This, to the players' union, when you talk salary cap, it's almost a declaration of war. This is the salary cap issue was the biggest issue of 1994, which canceled the regular season, canceled the World Series, and then canceled the virtually spring training, delayed the start of the 1995 season, nearly ended Cal Ripken's Iron Man streak because he would have had two options, either cross a picket line to play or... You know, it also led to a bunch of scab players, as they love to be referred to, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I remember.
That, you know, pretty much overall, most of them were blackballed from playing Major League Baseball ever again for participating in spring training that year. So it leads to a lot of problems. Let's put it that way. I guess the Major League Baseball is taking a little bit of a different approach and it would be a cap on both ends of salaries. Right now, there's no cap. They have what they call a luxury tax, which teams like the Dodgers, now they're spending a ton of money on salaries, and then they find creative ways to lessen that burden, like, you know,
giving
like 650 of the 700 million to Shohei Ohtani down the road. But then they cut a giant check to Major League Baseball at the end of the year, which then splits that money amongst the teams. So what Major League Baseball has proposing at this point, and it's very early in negotiations. So this is just kind of an initial proposal, capping the high end at about $245 million, but capping the low end at about $171 million. Creating a scenario where teams have to spend at least $171 million. So it's to create that financial parity within Major League Baseball, which will always be the big debate. Does the financial parity matter? And you look at teams and you go, well, look at the A's. Yes, it matters. But then when you look at teams like Tampa Bay or Cleveland or Milwaukee, some of the other very small markets in Major League Baseball, these teams seem to be competitive year after year through things like scouting and drafting and economic free agency.
Well, unfortunately, they're almost like a tier one, mm-hmm. you know, college. You know, you're going to go there for a little while, and then, you know, now that we've got, you know, everything going on with college and the players being paid, they're just going to go somewhere else. And so basically what you're doing is you're bringing these kids up, and, you know, they're learning how to play the game, and, you know, all of a sudden then they're gone to the higher who pays the highest amount of money.
Well, and it leads to so many challenges. Things like, so we talked about Colt Emerson, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, the reason he didn't stick with the Mariners out of spring training, that he came in May, is because by delaying his debut until May, that when he came up, they literally gain another year before he can become a free agent. So his major league service time, unless he wins Rookie of the Year or another award at the end of the season, the Mariners now control him for 7 years rather than six.
Well, I guess, yeah, there's all sorts of ways that you can play the game.
So, and that's the thing. When you get a guy like Paul Skeens in Pittsburgh, you know, he makes his major league debut at a young age. He is a phenomenal pitcher, one of the best Major League Baseball has seen in a number of years. And yet Pittsburgh is only going to have the guy for a couple of years, and then they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to trade him for a, you know, group of the next generation of players, or they're going to let him walk in free agency because they can't afford to match the money the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox could afford to pay him.
Yeah, and you know, it does a disservice to Major League Baseball to have just the same teams in the playoffs, in the World Series. I mean, let's just take, for example, the Dodgers. They're mm-hmm. always there because they always spend all that money, and there's something has to give.
Well, and that's the thing, is this is going to be the hottest debate, because when you have a juggernaut like the Dodgers currently, or the Yankees of the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, that seems to just be there every year, but then you flip it around and you say, but yet the other group of teams always seem to be new. And, you know, we've had rarely back-to-back World Series winners.
That's true.
So the argument is always going to be there, and there's not going to be a conclusion to it ever, I believe. I just hope that this latest round of negotiations doesn't lead to the damage that a strike or a lockout could bring.
I agree. All right, we're going to have to get out to our final break before the Mariners before we give it up to them, this thing is being brought to you by Bonevine Burger Bar. If you're hungry for a burger, that's the best one in town, in my opinion. There you go.
I agree.
Good.
I agree.
All right, so it's not just me.
That's right.
All right, there you have it. All right, we'll be back after this.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the final segment before we give it up to Rick Riz and crew. This segment being brought to you by Auto Team Service Center, a better way to maintain your car.
So all I can say is this, we get ready to turn this thing over to the Mariners. Like we said, the saving grace has been the American League West is really bad. The American League as a whole is mediocre at best. Four American League teams are over 500. The Mariners, currently in first place, They need to win tonight to make 500.
Isn't that amazing?
And I just go, what is going on when the American League has four teams, Tampa Bay, New York, Cleveland, and the White Sox, of all places, playing over 500 baseball right now. Everyone else is lower than. The National League, on the other hand, three teams from the NL East, three teams from the NL West, and the whole National League Central are all over 500 right now.
Yeah, and so the National League, I think the most chaotic team is the Chicago Cubs because they've had 10-game winning streaks, and then they have a 10-game losing streak, and so they're all over the board. So 2 days ago, they were in last place mm-hmm. in the National League Central, and now they're in second place by beating Pittsburgh 2 games in a row. So there's a lot of action going on in the National League. It's kind of fun.
Well, in the fun part, I mean, when you realize and you break it down, and you realize that, you know, we just talked about the need for this, you know, they want this salary cap to create parity. There is so much parity right now in Major League Baseball. The NL Central is separated by 6 games from top to bottom. The AL West, 6 games top to bottom. Everywhere else, you know, you've got a big time cellar dweller. But you have three teams competing for the top constantly across the board. And you go, there's a lot of parity in Major League Baseball right now, and I don't understand why it is, whether, you know, like the Mariners are not playing up to the level they should against bad teams. They're taking 2 out of 3 from Atlanta a month ago.
You know, the crazy thing, I mean, I'm just going to go back to the Dodgers here. I was watching him a couple of days ago with Ohtani pitching, and he was hitting as well. So he gets through the first inning, and he's the first one to bat, mm-hmm. and he hits a home run. Just like, this guy is absolutely phenomenal. He's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, right now, Ohtani is in a discussion for being not only the MVP but also the Cy Young winner in the National League. So
that'd be a first.
I just go, this guy, he is two of a kind, because Babe Ruth was the only other guy to have that level of success doing what he's doing.
Absolutely, the big panda bear.
That's right.
All right, hey, are we done? Do we have to get it out?
We gotta turn over to the Mariners.
Sports Ticket right here at 1430 KYKN. Enjoy the ball game, everyone.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.